Good morning. Are you ready to step out? Are you ready to step out of your comfort zone, as the singing team sang about a little bit earlier, and for true growth and for true change? If so, say yes. That's one. That will not be the final yes you say today. Today, it is Synchro Divinity that you are here with us today. And if you don't know what that means, you will about to find out. And very much for me also, when I got to speak to Reverend Tony Boehm over a year ago about coming here, about speaking to all of you, about training and speaking to our leaders, we discussed when that would be. And we worked with our schedules, and we've been working with it for over a year. But that day is today, that you are here with us. And this weekend has absolutely been, I got to tell you the word I keep hearing from people that took your Friday night workshop. The word was magical. If you were there Friday night, can you say amen?
Amen.
People were here Friday night, absolutely. And little did I know, until we got to spend more time together this weekend, that many of you have heard me speak about one of my mentors, Reverend Skye. Well, he was influential in me becoming a minister, like many others. But one person was very influential to keep him in ministry, and that is our guest today. That's the type of influence she has had in the movement. She is a ministerial consultant. She has been a vice president at Unity World Headquarters for many years in the past. So we are so grateful to have you here today to talk to us about Synchro Divinity. So let's please give Reverend Tony Boehm a big hand to the stage.
Good morning. It is my pleasure to be here with you today, and to talk about and to share with you about Synchro Divinity. Now, there might be some people out there going, does she know the word is synchronicity? And I'm saying, this is beyond that. This is Synchro Divinity. This is something that started to arise in me as I opened to the idea that there is this universal energy field that I live and move and breathe in. And as I become more aware of it through the power and the dominion of the I am within me, that Christ presence, whatever you want to call it, as I became more aware of who I am as my true nature, this field started opening up all sorts of possibility. All sorts of possibility. And so it is that we live and move in this field. Excuse me one second. I'm going to cough. I'm sorry. We get up. So, have you ever had one of those moments? Perhaps it was you went outside to look at the night sky, and the moment you looked up at the night sky and all the stars, you saw a shooting star. That perfect moment, you were there, the shooting star happened. Have you ever walked into a room, walked past a bookshelf or a table, and a book fell on the floor, and the book opened, and you read it? And it was something you needed to read and see and hear and feel in every fiber of your being, and it led you to do something that you wouldn't have normally done. That's how things work. So I want to show you something that happened to me as I started opening to this field. I walked into a rock shop. I love rocks. I'm going to tell you, rocks talk to me. You may think they're innate. You may think they're inert. They talk to me. So I walk into a rock shop, and this rock, I see it across the room, and I go, oh my God, that's my rock. It's so beautiful. And I buy it, and I take it home, and I think I have my clicker here. Did it come up? There it is. All right. So there's the rock that I bought. And on
on this corner up here, I don't know if it'll show on that. In this corner, I thought, oh, it's my rock because to me that was the Holy Spirit. And in this corner, you can't see her, but there's like a woman here. She was smoking a pipe. Peace pipe, whatever she is doing. But I thought that was me, you know. So I'm in meditation one day with the rock above me, and I open my eyes, and I see. Now remember, my first thing was, that was my rock. Look what is right here. My name is BOEME. B-O-E-M-E. In the rock. You talk about synchro divinity? And not only that, but in the middle of it is a star. I'm a rock star. All right. So synchro divinity, it is the universe seemingly guided by an invisible energetic force orchestrating an event or a series of events to support our soul growth, to support soul shift, to support soul change. And when they happen, these events are often awe-inspiring. They're often unexpected, unanticipated, unplanned, unforeseen, but yet they shift something within us. And so that's what I started to see, and that's what started to me to think about this idea that this synchro divinity, there's a divine energy behind this that's moving the universe. And as I become one with it, it becomes more prominent in my life. You know, Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, wrote in 1916 in Unity magazine, actually a woman sent him a letter and says, "What is this I feel when I go to my mailbox and I get this magazine?" And Charles wrote in the Unity magazine, he wrote back an answer to her, and he says that what you feel is an energy and a vibration that is consciously imbued into the pages of this book, and it must be observed and recognized. And you are observing and recognizing it. But what she was observing was the oneness of the universe, of that energy of who we are and what we're about. Mr. Fillmore also says that life is an ever-progressive upward spiral of conscious evolution, that we're always shifting, we're always changing. Nikola Tesla says, if you want to know how the universe works, think in terms of energy, vibration, and frequency. Yes, energy. Mr. Fillmore says, again, Mr. Fillmore, I love Mr. Fillmore. That's part of why I won the award, I guess, because I love him so much. He says that every cell of our being has substance, life, and intelligence. Now, he says substance is divine energy. So he was tapping into and knowing that every cell of our being, he says every cell of our being creates an energetic force field. And we are it. As we tap into, we are it. And as we tap into the I am, it comes more awake, more awake, more awake, and we become more one with it. So how do we know this is true? I'm going to show you. I want to show you how powerful I really am. Do you see this? Okay. I am energy. I am intelligence. I am life. I am the perfect pattern of all that is. That's exciting. That's exciting. Eric, would you come over here, please? Would you come over too, Vanessa?
Absolutely. I feel like a Wonder Woman.
Would you hold
hands? Sure.
Would you hold that? You see what happens when we work together? Oh. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. And friends, I was here 3 years ago. I want to tell you, the energy that I feel today from the energy that I felt 3 years ago is palpable. It's palpable. Give yourselves a great hand. But how do we learn to work with this field? We learn to work with it. I always like to talk about it as we learn to work with it by dancing at the edge of mystery. Not being afraid or fearful of dancing at the edge of mystery. Being willing to step into the unknown. But how do we even get to there? We get to there through prayer and meditation. We get to there by being willing to sit in that silence, to be present to the energy field as it moves through us until we have those luminous, mystical moments that shift us at depth, that shatter the illusions of who we have always thought we were in order that we could find out who we truly are. Dance at the edge of mystery. Be willing to take the time. And remember, I talked about the book falling off the shelf. The other thing about Synchro Divinity, it asks of us three things, I think, when something like this happens. One, it asks, and it goes back to what Mr. Fillmore says, it asks that we observe. Oh, something just happened here. Otherwise, you could walk past the book and go, oh, darn, close that book. You have to observe. You have to notice. You have to be one with the energy field. So the energy field is literally supporting you in feeling what's happening. It's not even enough to observe and notice. You have to make a choice. You make a choice in that moment. Do I shut the book or do I open it? Do I say, oh, look, there might be something here. And then the last thing is, when it's synchro divine events, it always invites you to take an action. Always invites you to take an action. You know, one of the other legacies that Mr. Fillmore left us was the Bible, the metaphysical interpretation of the Bible. And so I want to talk about some of these observe choice actions through the life of Jesus, the master teacher. Because I really believe that Jesus really left us a template of things that have to relate to that energy field. So let's just look at a couple of them. The first one, and remember, he didn't have the language that we had today, and he didn't speak English either. You know, let's remember that. He spoke Aramaic. So the first one is in Matthew, when I started to look at everything through the eyes of energy. Okay, it's not what's happening out here. There's something happening out here. But if I look at it from an energetic perspective instead of, you know, the idea of somebody's doing something to me or somebody's trying to whatever. If I look at it from the sense of energy. So I looked at Jesus' words and I'm going, so what's he really working towards looking at in regards to the energy field? And I looked at the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the teachings he had there was, let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. And I went, oh my God, he was teaching about the law of attraction and intentionality. 2,000 years ago, he didn't have those words, but he was saying, if you let your yes be yes, you imprint upon the field, you bring clarity to the space, you bring intentionality to the space, and when you say yes with that knowing, that belief of who I am with the I am behind it, you can move mountains. You can move mountains. The second one that I saw was the idea of John 4:4. When it said, it was talking about the story of Jesus going to Samaria. And John 4:4 says, and he had to go to Samaria. He had to go. Have you ever had to do something? Other people didn't understand why you had to do it, but you knew you had to do it. Think about this. Jesus is with the disciples. What were the disciples? They were fishermen, right? They're in the south. They're going back up to Jerusalem. Can't you imagine them all going, Jesus, we're fishermen. Let's get in a boat. Let's just row our way up there. And Jesus going, no, I got to go through Samaria. We're going to have to walk, you know? So he had to go to Samaria because there was a woman there that he was to meet. There was a woman there that he was to meet. And he would not only change her life, but he would open up his life also.
Another one that had to do with an energy field that just struck me so much was the idea of the woman with the issue of blood. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? What did she do? She never even talked to him. All she did was she came up and she touched the hem of his garment. She touched the hem of the field that surrounded him, and he was so full of the presence of the I Am as an energy field, the presence of the Christ, that in that moment she was healed, and he was so sensitive, he said, "Who touched me? Who touched me? Who entered my field? Who entered the field?" Yes. And the last one is the Roman centurion. I love this one too, because the Roman centurion was one in authority, and he said to Jesus, "My servant is sick." And Jesus says, "I will come." And the man said to him, "No, no, you don't have to. I recognize you as one in authority." And when you can recognize one in authority, carrying the power of the I Am, you can change anything. You can shift the energy in the space. And Jesus said, "Ah, your servant is healed." And the servant was healed. Just examples of how already 2,000 years ago, the story of what we're finding now about quantum energy, the quantum field, is already here. So the last little story I want to tell you about being in the presence of the quantum field and being in the presence of the I Am and being in the presence of rocks has to do with the story of Dead Horse Canyon. How many here have ever been to Utah? Okay, so my husband says to me, "I'm going to take you on a vacation to Utah for 3 weeks." And I'm like the disciples, "Why? I want to go to Europe." And he goes, "We're going to Utah. You're going to love it." So we go to Utah, and I love it. All the rocks, they're just like talking to me. So we go to this place called Dead Horse Canyon. We pay our money. We get a brochure. And I'm reading it. And every fiber of my being is going, I'm going to tell you what I read. Every fiber of my being is going, "No!" Because here's what I read. Dead Horse Canyon was named because there was a group of robbers who used to bring horses here. And they forgot about them and the horses died. Yeah, I mean, talk about a marketing story. It was like, "No!" Every fiber. So we go to, and here's how it looks. So you're up here on 30 stories up, and here's the Colorado River down here. So you're up here looking down over the canyon. And so I look there, and I look down. The sun was perfect. Everything must have. And I saw this. The sky parted. Do you see the horse? Do you see the horse and the rocks? I started screaming. My husband goes, "What's wrong?" I said, "The dead horse. There's the dead horse." I said, "It's a horse in the rocks laying on its side. Looks like it's laid out with its tail is all like wrapped up." I said, "That's the horse. That's what they saw." So I observed. I noticed. I made a choice. And well, there was a woman there, and she started going, "What are you seeing? What are you seeing?" And I showed her, and she said, "Oh my God, we've been coming here for 30 years. Every year we come here. We have never seen that horse. Never seen that horse." So I tell my husband, we're driving out, and I say, "Do I have cell reception?" And he said, "What do you need cell reception for?" And I said, "Because I'm calling the director of the state of Utah." And I said, and I did. And I called him, and I got him on the phone. And I said, "I want to tell you, your story of Dead Horse Canyon is wrong." And I he said, "Well, you know what, lady, I'm going to check on this." And he said, "Give me your name and your address." And I told him about the horse that I saw on the rocks. And a few months later, I get this beautiful package from the state of Utah. And it was a gift inside and a card. And the card said, "You were right." We went back into the archives. We moved our library. And the archive pieces for that got lost. So we had a marketing department make up a story. And he said, "We found the original story." And he said, "That is what the original person, 150 years ago, that's what they saw, was the horse in the canyon." So Now they have the picture on the website of the horse. So I just want to leave you, because I always like to leave with some practical application. I want to leave you with a couple of things to think about during this week. One is, friends, I talk about, even in leadership, lead by example, leaderships. But you know what? We really don't lead by example. We lead by vibration. We lead by energy. Whatever's in our energy field is what people are going to sense, they're going to know. So as you do that, recognize it. Recognize them always. So don't think you can hide when you're angry. Don't think you can walk around going, and if somebody, how are you? I'm just fine. Because we lead by vibration. The second thing is, be self-observant. Be self-observant. Mr. Fillmore says, self-observation is the prelude to Christ consciousness. You must be about truly looking at, what are my actions saying, what are my actions doing, and where are my actions leading me? Third is, be the space of yes. That's why all this yes is going on. Be the space of yes. Let your yeses and no be imprinting. And let me just say this, there is no no. Whatever you're saying to the universe, you're always saying yes to something. It may sound like it. So this is a yes universe. I wrote a book, The Power of Yes, and it's your empowerment system. Yes is your empowerment system. Imprint wisely, friends. Imprint wisely. So here, I want you to imprint upon the universe a yes, and I don't even care what you're saying yes to. I want you to think of something you want to say yes to. And now say yes. Yes. Yes, like you mean it. And sometimes I even go like that lady in the shampoo commercial where I get all, yes, yes, yes. This is the next step, yes. You know, be intentionality in action. Be intentionality, be clarity. Our work is to come into vibrational harmony with the I am. Our work, friends, isn't to play small. Playtime is over. It's over, friends. We are here to do a big work. We are here to shift consciousness. We are here to change global awareness. And don't worry about what it looks like happening on any national political scene. Don't worry about it. There is a greater something at work that's really here. The only thing you need to be concerned with, and it's not even a concern, is that you be the law of the dominion of the I am. In this moment, am I playing as big as I can possibly play so that I can be about making an imprint into the world and onto the world? That's our job, and that, my friends, is our work. Synchro divinity, the universe is setting you up for success. Observe, make choices, take actions that lead you into those synchro divine events, but more important, say yes to the greatness that you are as the vibration of the I am. And let's just all say together, are you willing to be the greatness of the vibration of the I am in every moment? Yes, yes, yes. God bless you all.
Wow, that was absolutely amazing, Eric. Oh my goodness, everyone. And we are now dovetailing straight into our newcomers. Is there anyone here in the audience that is here for the first time on this special day with our beautiful Reverend Tony Boehm? Are you here? If you would, just go ahead and raise your hands. Thank you so much and welcome. We are so glad that you are here. We are a loving environment, as you can see, and we also have lots of fun in the midst of our movement. And with that, we're going to be going into our offering blessing.
Yes, as they gather down front for collection. You all welcome to join with me. Divine love as me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you, Father, Mother, God.